Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17. I just have one verse for you here, but you're going to need to keep your Bibles handy. Proverbs 17:12 says something very interesting. It says, "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we come to you here this morning, and we've enjoyed a good time already in Sunday school, Father, and appreciate the Spirit of God being present and bearing witness to the truth. We ask you now that you would hear as we endeavor to preach the Word of God. These are your words, each and every one of them. And Father, the Spirit of God is what gives understanding. We trust, Lord, that you will show everybody here what they need to see about themselves, about you, and about others. If somebody here is lost, pray you deal with their hearts about that. Mainly, Father, I pray you'd strengthen Christians. Help them, Lord, to see clearly these things in plainness and in full light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs 17:12. "Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly." It's a remarkable statement. Bears are one of God's more impressive creatures. I haven't been to Gander Mountain for a while, or for that matter, Cabela's, but I imagine that if you go there, you'll probably see a stuffed bear or two. There used to be a sportsman's store down in Roseville called Burger Brothers, and they had a monster Kodiak bear there stuffed, standing on his hind legs. In my memory, it seems like he was as tall as that apex up there. I know he wasn't quite that tall, but suffice to say, the only way I wanted to be in the woods with that guy was if he was dead or I was in a tank. Because this thing was an impressive part of God's creation. I was going to St. Francis, or coming back from St. Francis one day this summer when Kim was in the hospital. I saw this weird-looking thing lope across the road in front of me a few hundred yards up. I was by an alpaca farm up there in St. Francis, and I'm thinking, that didn't look like an alpaca. And sure enough, I pulled up to where he was. He'd gone on across the road and walked off into a meadow there, and I pulled over to the left shoulder, and sure enough, there he was, big black bear, gave me a full side shot, turned and looked back at me, you know, that sort of thing. I couldn't possibly guess how big he actually was. I know he wasn't a cub. And I know he's not somebody I would want to meet taking my trash out on a Sunday night about 11 o'clock. Bears are impressive creatures. I don't know how big the Palestinian bears are that the Lord was referring to here, I guess, in Proverbs, although there are bears and fools in other parts of the world. I know this. Most men here would be honest enough to say that if you weigh 200 pounds, any 200-pound animal is more than a match for you, especially when they're pointy on four or five ends, and you're hardly pointy on any end at all. You have a major problem, right? So, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. There's another little bit of this equation, and you'll find a word that we don't use too often anymore, I suppose, unless you're in the dog business or something like that. But whelps, we're talking about bear cubs. Let a bear robbed of her whelps. That puts an entirely different light on the equation. I am not interested in standing between a bear and his honey. I'm not interested in trying to sneak up on a bear and kick it in the rump. But when you add the whelps to the equation, that changes things very significantly. Amen? I rather imagine that a she-bear can do a lot of damage real fast, and my issue would be that she might want to teach me a lesson before she kills me. Because as a bear robbed of her whelps, meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now that makes verse 12 a remarkable statement when you stop looking at it. It says, let a bear robbed of her whelps. It says, God would prefer that a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than to meet a fool in his folly. Means that you're in God's sight better off running into a bear robbed of her whelps as opposed to running into a fool in his folly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, remind you real quickly that God does not see things as you see things at all. You see people, you see fools every day involved, thoroughly engaged in their folly all the time. God says you're better off to run into a bear in the woods robbed of her whelps than to run into a fool in his folly. That's a remarkable statement. Maybe your worst nightmare involves being disemboweled, beheaded, and dismembered by a she-bear that's pretty mad. You say, Lord, I don't want to die that way. Lord says, that's nothing. Here's a guy. It's almost deer season, right? Is it deer season yet? Deer season starts. Guys are headed out to their stands. Three guys. And all of a sudden I hear this noise crashing through the brush. Emerges this fellow. And he is scared out of his wits. He is running at the top speed possible that he can run. He is white as a brand new JCPenney bedsheet. He has wet his pants. He is screaming. He shows up and can hardly catch his breath. It's very plain from his terrified look that he's going to have dreams about this issue for as long as he lives. He's probably psychologically damaged. And the hunters all gather around him, point, you know, with their guns pointed out, looking at whatever Sasquatch may be chasing this guy, say, what's wrong? What's wrong? I can't believe it. I came around the corner of the trail, and there he was, a fool in his folly. I barely escaped. I barely escaped. Or they stumble on this guy in Yellowstone, and he has been partially disemboweled. He has been dismembered. One arm is hanging off just by a thread. He's bleeding to death. Clothes just shredded, just in terrible condition. One guy's a paramedic. They get him wrapped up. Some of the bleeding stopped. Call in a helicopter before the helicopter gets there. They think the guy's probably fading off very fast, and they're not sure that even getting in the helicopter is going to help him. He pulls one guy down to him just so he can hear him just whisper, thank God, at least it wasn't a fool's folly. My point, folks, is that, you know, what we picture as reality sometimes is kind of a caricature of what really is. Folks, the Lord said, let a bear, robbed of her whelps, meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Evidently, a fool in his folly is no joke. Evidently, one of the worst things you can do is involve yourself on any kind of an intimate basis with a fool in his folly. You'd be better off, says God, running into a mama bear that's just had the cubs stolen. Now, I need you to think about that for a little while. So, the fool is in his folly. He's more dangerous than the bear. I started looking at folly, and I quickly came up with some things that fools do that bears don't do. So I'd like to preach to you about that for a little while here this morning. What bears don't do. Now, they can kill you, right? They can mangle you for life. They can disembowel you with one fell swoop. They say that a fair-sized bear can knock a head off a heifer under the right circumstances. There's no question that a bear could knock your head off. Probably a 200-pound bear could knock your head off. But got thinking about that. Okay, what bears don't do. And this is you can take this one to the bank and think about it. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. It is a serious business. We are very flippant sometimes about our friendships, about our involvements, about who we listen to, what we laugh at, those sort of things, who we get kind of involved with. You should be careful about those things. As a bear robbed over whelps, let a bear robbed over whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Let me talk to you about what bears don't do. Now, we know what they can do. Disembowel, behead, dismember, kill, mangle for life, all those things. But there are some things that bears don't do. For instance, look in Genesis chapter 34. Now, it said the man is in his folly, and you're better off to run into a she-bear without cubs than such a man. Genesis 34, you'll recognize this as the passage where Jacob's daughter, Dinah, goes out to see the daughters of the land, and she winds up forced and defiled by this guy. Notice Genesis chapter 34, verse 7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it about this matter. The men were grieved. They were very wroth because he had wrought folly in Israel. So, here's a fool in his folly, right? What did he do again? Notice chapter 34 and verse 2. Says there that Shechem defiled her, right? Verse 5. Heard that he had defiled Dinah. Verse 13. Defiled Dinah. 27. Defiled their sister. Folks, Shechem the son of Hamor, in his folly, defiled Dinah. Now, brethren, bears don't defile you. They may mangle you. They may kill you. They may dismember you. They don't defile you. Right? That's why it's better for a man to run into a bear robbed of her whelps than to run into a fool in his folly. Because a fool in his folly will defile you if you're not careful. There's a couple other places like that in Judges chapter 19 that Levite goes after the concubine that runs off, brings her into Gibeah, as you know, spends a night with the old man. Pretty soon the men of Gibeah gather around about and knock on the door, and they want the old man to send out the man, like in Sodom, that they may know him. And the old man says, oh, do not this folly. Right? Here is Amnon. He's in love with his sister Tamar and wrangles his way into the bedchamber. And by the time it's over with, the Bible says that he forced Tamar and she said, oh, do not this folly. Folly. Adultery. Sodomy. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, I got news for you. Bears don't do that. Bears don't do that. Dinah and Tamar had something stolen from them they could not retrieve. Perhaps they even had their reputations ruined because of it. Okay? Not that they did anything wrong, but men have a hard time perceiving the truth in some things. So, here is something irreversible. They are, at least in some regards, broken and ruined, perhaps their reputations anyway. This is called folly. Here is Gibeah. The men of Gibeah sought to do worse than they did. Folks, they forced this guy's concubine until morning till they killed her, but they wanted to do worse than that. And a whole bunch of people died. Here is Shechem. And the Bible says that he wound up in love with Dinah. He had forced her and defiled her, but he was in love with her and wanted to marry her. And it all sounds good. But still people died. And still Dinah was defiled. You say, what's the point? Bears don't do that. Fools do. Again, I think about the fact that Shechem loved Dinah by the time it's over with. I don't care what your motives are. Defilement is still defilement. You can say what you like. I mean, you can call it what you want. We'll address that later. But defilement is still defilement. And bears don't do that. Fools do. Suffice to say this. Fools are not found in jesters' costumes. With the little pointy hats, with the little balls and all made up and everything. The rodeo clown thing, you know, where, ah, ha, ha, yeah, he's just being stupid. He's just being a fool. It's not like that. It's better to run into a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool and his folly. Bears don't defile you. I read in my New Testament, Mark, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to be there real quick, about some things that defile and how defilement occurs. Mark chapter 7, for instance, verse 18, he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, etc., etc. Those things come out, those things defile. My point is, you run into a bear in the woods, you may wind up disemboweled, mangled for life, dead, dismembered, who knows? If you run into a fool, chances are pretty good he's going to try to defile you. Now, he doesn't have to impart defilement into you. Fact is, all those things dwell already within you. Right? That which dwells in a man. But he will nourish it. He will try to bring it forth. He will try to get you to think about it and bring it out. The fool will try to brainwash you into thinking about defiled things and to grow to have defiled passions and a defiled nature beyond what you have. That's the danger of the fool. The fool attempts to defile. The Bible says, furthermore, that we just studied this in 1 Corinthians 8, that a weak brother's conscience being weak is defiled. I'm reminded that one thing that a fool does that a bear never even considers doing is trying to get you to defile your conscience. You know? I mean, they talk these days about we are too inhibited as a people. You're not inhibited enough. We're supposed to just let down our guard and let anything enter in. We're supposed to be open-minded, just let anybody come by whatsoever that wants to fill it with trash. I want you to know, a bear doesn't do that. Now, I haven't thought about being mangled by a bear, but I can stand beneath that big old Kodiak at Burger Brothers. It's not there anymore, I suppose. I don't know where the bear is. And stand beneath him. He had to weigh close to 900 pounds or 1,000 pounds. To imagine what that bear could do to me, with how long he could play with me before he finally put me out of my misery. It's a thing of nightmares, folks. And yet at the same time, some folks think nothing whatsoever of joining friendships, getting in a car, going somewhere with somebody that's not just a fool that needs to be saved, but he's a fool that tries to defile you. A bear does not do that. A bear does not try to talk you into doing something you know is wrong and that you should not do. A bear never does that, ever, ever. But a fool does it all the time. All of us, we're essentially, there's all kinds of corruption that dwells in us. All of us were introduced to sin by other people. Could be mothers and fathers, but very often, friends, school friends. Out behind the barn had a special meaning for us back in Texas growing up. It's not even out behind a barn anymore. I mean, the first cigarette that you ever smoked was probably not absolutely of your own volition. Somebody probably offered it to you. The first dirty picture you ever saw was probably not something that you just found on your own. Now, you could today on the internet, I grant you that, but probably the first one you ever saw was shown you by somebody. Hey, Jimmy, come see what I found. Right? That's a fool. I want you to know, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Bears do not plot your defilement. Did you know that everybody sitting here this morning, no matter what your age or anything else, your gender, your race or color, is a target for some marketing firm somewhere? I'm a middle-aged white guy. There are marketing companies that would do anything in the world to get me in a corner and try to sell me something. Your children are marketed for everything in this world these days that's wrong and wicked. Folks, men live and get rich to plot your defilement, to do all they can to get you to partake so you will be defiled. I have to bring up one more time the sodomite agenda. Those are wicked, wretched people. They recruit, they don't reproduce. And they're out to steal your children. Do not think for a moment that they're disinterested and gathering more and converting more to their side. You're not going to convince me otherwise. Don't argue with me. Okay? I've been around them. I've been around men. I know how men are. Men, sinners, want company in their sin. They want company in their guilt. And there are a bunch of people that get rich on a daily basis plotting for your children's moral and spiritual defilement. Bears don't do that. You would be better off running into a mad she-bear, a sow bear, in the woods, robbed of her whelps, than running with some of the friends that you probably run with. Than watching and admiring somebody on the TV that you watch and admire. Because bears don't plot for your defilement. And there are people out there that make a lot of money. And sometimes it's not for money. Sometimes it's just that your friend wants company in their guilt and their sin. Bears don't defile you. I'll tell you something else. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, would you? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You didn't expect me to be nice after I came back from vacation, did you? I spend enough time alone on vacation with just myself that I feel downright mean when I get back. It's one thing to go away on vacation for 8 or 10 days and have, you know, the time to spend with yourself and all that, but by the time the 10 days is over, I've had enough of me, and I know that whether I want to or not, I need to get back and shoulder a different burden than the one I've been carrying. Just me alone with my thoughts and my books and my wants and needs and naps and food. So you didn't expect me to be nice, did you? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Well, how about Ecclesiastes 10:6? Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in a low place. Folly is set in great dignity. Who would dignify folly? The answer is a fool would. Bears don't do that. The she-bear, the sow-bear with robbed of her whelps, she's not interested in dignifying anything. She just wants to kill you. She thinks you stole her whelp. She thinks you stole her cubs. She may disembowel you. She may mangle you. She may chew your arm off and leave you to bleed to death. But she's not interested in dignifying sin. Bible says, folly is joy to him destitute of wisdom. Says in another place, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Why does a fool return to his folly? Why does a fool vomit and then walk away and come back to the vomit? Because he's a fool. Tell you what he is. You're surrounded by people like that. And the fool is smart enough to try to dignify the coming back to the vomit. To make it seem as if maybe you're missing something when you walk away from your vomit. They dignify sin. They dignify the vomit. Bears don't do that. Those folks that arrive yearly at those big convention centers with all the lights and the glitz, they arrive in long limousines with evening gowns and tuxedos and $500 bottles of champagne, and they have a big old time, and they hand out awards. They're called Oscars and Emmys and Grammys and such thing. What is that? It is a bunch of reprobate people. I say reprobate people that get together and dignify the work that they've done that year. And you may be able to find some good in some of it, but a lot of it is nothing but chunky, glunky puke. Excuse my forthrightness. Tuxedos, evening gowns, $500 champagne glasses. They're dignifying the sin. They dignify it. Have you seen? Every generation has its own names to name. In my day, it was Elvis and John Lennon and Princess Di, okay? So there's this new generation now, and I don't even know if I can name them all, but have you seen what men have done to the reputations, with the reputations of people like Elvis and John Lennon and Liz Taylor? I know that I'm talking in the past for a lot of you, but how about Britney Spears? They have dignified all the nonsense that all those people do, and largely what they do could be compared to a blah. It's vomit. It's just refuse. And they dignify it. Look at our great heroes in our country. Here's Martin Luther King Jr., and some people think that he was a great guy. They also think his son's a great guy. Here is Jesse Jackson. Some would think he's a great guy. His son? They get worse and worse with each generation. And prove it, and yet everybody still thinks highly of them. How can this be? Bears don't do that. A bear may make your death and your rest of your life miserable, but he's not interested in dignifying sin. But that's what men do. That's what men do. Have you seen the art that people get awards for? I admit I don't see much of it, but once in a while you get a glimpse of what something that sells for $100,000, a picture somebody paints, it's nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, bears don't dignify sin, but fools do. That's why you're better off running into a bear than a fool in his folly. The problem is that the bear may kill you, but there's a greater danger. You might be influenced by the fool. You might grow to think like the fool thinks. And the Lord says, you know what? You'd be better off mangled and disemboweled, lying in the woods dying, than some of the friends that you contemplate running with. It's better that a man runs into a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. You say, ah, no, not me. Oh, no, not you. Yeah, but if caught, you know what you'll try to do? You'll try to dignify and put a different face on your own sin. If you're caught with your hand in the cookie jar, chances are 10 to 1 that in some way, shape, or form, you're going to try to dignify what you were doing. Oh, I was cleaning it. I was making sure the kids hadn't gotten any. I know how many are in there. You're going to try to dignify it. You say, why? Because I would. I'm not better than you. But bears don't do that. Bears don't do that. Notice something else here along the way. Notice Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Made me start thinking about a fool's folly. And so I went and investigated some of the folly that fools get into. And I came up with some interesting conclusions. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 is the chapter where Achan gets caught with the accursed thing and is stoned to death at the behest of God Almighty. Notice Joshua chapter 7, verse 15, and you see here what it's called. It shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he hath wrought, there it is, folly in Israel. Achan wrought folly in Israel. Now go down to verse 21 real quick and notice what the issue was. Saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels. And he said, I saw, I coveted, and I took. Now, you can draw this from that. Folly draws you. It allures you. It attempts to seduce you. It tries to reel you in. Is that right? Okay, well, so Achan was a fool that God caught in his folly. Look at what happened. Go down to verse 24. Joshua, and this is at God's behest, by the way, Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. They brought him into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them. That includes his sons and daughters with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Now, the first thing an American these days, even an American Christian does when he sees that, he goes, oh my goodness, that's really cruel. Well, they did that at God's behest. Why? Because Achan was a fool in his folly, and God has better sense than some of us. He knows that once the folly starts drawing on a man, that the folly never quite goes away. How many of you could testify that sins that you got involved in before you even got saved still have to this hour an appeal to your lusts and to your flesh? That's the danger. The danger is the gangrene needs to be cut off. Now, I'm not advocating stoning anybody to death. I don't care what they did. I mean, I'm not for going and throwing bricks at adulterers and such like that. We have laws and all that. We're civilized. I'm glad. I'm just saying, from God's view, it's better to run into a bear robbed of her whelps than to run into a fool in his folly. Here is Achan's folly. Wealth and stuff, he's caught, and then his family is killed and burned. Why? Because the folly draws you. Once you're exposed to it, the folly draws you. There are sins in my past, and I can still picture the pictures. I can still see them in my mind. I can still hear it in my mind. I can still taste it. I can still remember how it felt. Because at least the fool's dead, but the folly remains and still appeals, still attempts to seduce, it still allures, it still entices.
That is why it's better that a man be run into a bear, robbed of her whelps, than a fool in his folly. That's why you're better off running into a bear in the woods than running with some of the friends that you're tempted to run with. I have known Christians, I'm not talking about just teenagers that have bad friends. I have known adult Christian, Bible-believing Christians that had a weakness for certain friends from their past who may or may not have called themselves Christians. And in my view, those friends absolutely ruined those Christians. In fact, I can point to a couple of examples where they entirely, in my view, you say, oh, you're judging. Oh, yes, I am. Those friends entirely ruined those Christians' families. See, the point is, you don't look at, the problem is, even you, if you're not careful, don't look at things the way that God does. I'm not suggesting go out and cut your friends' hands off with a sword and all that. I'm not talking about you taking physical action that way, but you can separate. And sometimes that is exactly what's needed, because you're going to have enough of a fight in your life with the sins that are past and the memories of those sins without somebody coming along and saying, oh, hey, want to go, you know. Right? Who needs it? Who needs somebody to come along and tempt you further when you've already got enough temptation in your flesh already? A bear doesn't draw you. A bear doesn't defile you. A bear doesn't dignify sin. It doesn't say, a bear doesn't show up and go, hey, baby. Now, he may rip your guts out, may chew your leg off and leave you to bleed to death, but as far as trying to, hey, look what I got. Bears don't do that. Fools do. Some of your best friends from grade school, from high school, did. And frankly, some of your mothers and fathers did. I'm not saying stone them either. I'm just saying you have to be able to distinguish some things and think like God thinks about some things. I have one last thing. Jeremiah 23, would you? From Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23:13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. I have seen folly in the prophets. Those prophets deceive people. Bears don't deceive people. A she-bear sees you and her cubs are missing. There is no attempt whatsoever. I mean, you see the fire in her eye, and that may be the last thing you ever see. If you get attacked by a bear, you should hope so. She's not trying to deceive you. She wants to kill you. She wants to make you hurt. But these fools are caught in their folly, and their folly is deceit. These are prophets. I recall it says that, among other things, those Egyptians in Egypt, Jannes and Jambres in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that they are caught in their folly. I read where in Job 42, the Lord in the end comes to Job's three friends who spoke some things that were true, but in the end, they spoke things that were false to Job. And God comes to those three friends and says, you go offer sacrifices, and Job will offer the sacrifices to me for you, lest I deal with you after your folly. Because you did not tell the truth about me. Bears don't try to deceive anybody. There is no duplicity in a charging bear. That's not something you can say for most prophets. most clergy, most ministers these days. I know how you feel about it. I believe that, I'm first of all a Christian, and secondly, after that, I'm a pastor. I'm unlike some of you. I've been called to an office in church. I'm a pastor. But you understand you're as much a priest as me if you're saved. You're as much an ambassador for Jesus Christ as me if you're saved. You are every much as bit, did I say that right? Every much as bit. Yes, that's exactly what I meant to say. You are every bit as much a prophet as I am, if you're saved. I consider myself to be called to the highest office in the country. I've been called to speak for God Himself and to declare the mind of God, the opinions of God about things, and to reveal the truth of God to folks that the Lord's given me to pastor. The fact is, every one of you here, if you're saved, has been given that same responsibility. We are stewards of the mysteries of God, ministers, servants, ambassadors, soldiers, sons, heirs, all those things. And I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. This world is filled with people that have been called to that very place, and they're completely duplicitous about it. There are some churches you'd be better off leaving and going to the woods and being attacked by a bear than staying in that church. There are some witnesses, not just Jehovah's Witnesses, there are some witnesses, there are some Christians that it's better for you to go into the woods and be attacked by the bear that I saw by my house, mauled, disemboweled, and mangled, and spend the rest of your life with 100 surgeries trying to put you back together, than to run into some of the ministers and the witnesses that minister to people in God's name. You say, how do I tell the difference? You have a Bible. You have a Savior who gave you a Spirit, gave you a Bible so you can read and check. Gave you as much the mind of Christ as He gave me. It's your job to exercise it. Ladies and gentlemen, bears don't deceive anybody. Now maybe, if you hear stories about once they're wounded and you start tracking them, sometimes some of them do swing around behind you. The hunter winds up being the hunted. Okay, now there are cases like that. That's true. But as far as walking up on a bear robbed of her whelps, she ain't interested in deceiving you at all. She's interested in ripping your face off your head. And I just want to say that I wish it were all true with preachers and ministers and men and Christians and witnesses of the Lord, because it's not true. Sometimes they have their own agenda, and what they really are out to do is just deceive you. Sometimes they're not saved themselves. Sometimes they are saved. I'm sad to say, I know Christians. And they spend their lifetimes running a scam on everybody else. They're interested in deceiving you. They're interested in you being in company with them in their guilt, in their sin, and in their plight. Nobody wants to be alone. Everybody wants somebody that thinks like them with them. And they'll deceive you to get you there. Bears don't defile you. They don't dignify sin. They don't draw you. And they don't deceive you. But fools in their folly do. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, again, if you've never been saved here this morning, it's kind of been a rough message for you, probably. All I can say is this. I may not always be nice. Now, I may not always be the most eloquent fellow in the world. And there are things that I could put in better words, probably, than I do. But I'm only interested in getting you the truth. There's a truth about heaven and hell. There's a truth about sin and judgment. And if there's no question that there are men better at it than me in appealing to people's passions and concerns and better parts of their nature. But by the grace of God, I intend to leave this life having spoken the truth and not try to deceive anybody or defile anybody or draw somebody to a wrong conclusion or to a wrong position. Bears don't do that. But boy, a bunch of fools do. And you're not this morning now, but go outside this building. You're surrounded by them. Plug your iPod into your ears, and you got it inside your head. Go on the internet, you're in it. You're surfing it. Deceit, defilement, all those things. The dignification of sin. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we are grateful this morning for light that you've given us. And a simple statement like this of how it's your preference that a man might be mauled rather than companion and fellowship and dialogue with some that they do so with ought to be a sobering thing to a modern day American. Father, help us to think about things as you do. I pray this morning that you might help us to search ourselves, and we must have contact with lost people. And we should. But they don't have to be our buddies. And they ought not be our companions in many ways. Because it's better for a man to run into a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. Help us, Lord, to be discerning. Give us courage to do what's right. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is a message that's easily preached to teenagers and young people because we all think of teenagers as being the chief ones that are influenced by peer pressure and such. The fact is, and I've said it many times, so often 40 and 50 and 60 year olds are just as influenced by peers and friends and family that are fools than teenagers. This is something, it doesn't say it's better for a teenager to run into a bear robbed of her whelps. It doesn't say teenager. It says a man, indicating a full-grown man. I wonder if the Lord spoke to you about any of this here this morning. Give you an opportunity to come if you did. If you never trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll consider that as well. Now, Father, we preached hard this morning about some things very directly, and we're glad you are direct with us. Father, I'm glad that you don't mince any words in telling us how things are. All these treasures are to be found in the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ. Father, I pray you'd help us to live up to these things, take them seriously. There are very few of us, if any, that have run into a bear in the woods, but we've run every day of our lives into folks that are much more dangerous than bears in the woods. Pray to give us light, give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 364, let's stand and sing a stanza or two. Invitation's still open if you care to come. Number 364. remind you, we have a prayer meeting tonight as usual, 5:30 if you want to come, 6 o'clock otherwise for church. There is a directory back there for you to check your stuff. Look, you don't have to be a member of our church to be on the directory. If you're going to come to church here, put your name on there so I can contact you with information. If something comes up, we need you to pray for something, or if there's weather conditions upcoming like this winter. So by all means, sign up, check your stuff, and we're going to be dismissed here. Let's pray. Father, we look forward to getting those folks back from Moldova. Look forward to seeing them tomorrow sometime. We look forward to tonight as well. Help us, Father, to carry on here. We had a good time this morning, or at least I did. I pray that you'll bless the truth. Father, remind us that we are foreigners and pilgrims here. We're aliens in a foreign country at this point. We are pilgrims and don't belong here. May you drive this home to us. And Father, may we not feel obligations to this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good morning, everybody.